All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the What If Podcast, powered by Intent Fit. I am your host, Quentin. Finally was able to get my brother on our last podcast, and I can't tell you how much fun I had on it. That is episode 5. I just had to call that out because I think I'm going to make a more considered effort to get guests on the pod. I just really enjoyed that ebb and flow of our conversation. So if I can't get him on regularly, I'll find some other people to bring on. But really enjoyed it. If you haven't listened to it, go check it out. Now, as for today's conversation, I am super stoked to cover this topic. I actually came across it a few years ago, and although it was interesting at the time, I didn't really spend a lot of energy learning about it, and then it got brought up in conversation a couple weeks ago, and I thought, oh, that would be perfect to bring to my audience and share a little bit about. So we're going to jump into it, but before we do, I want to caveat by saying there's a little bit of a plot twist towards the end, so stick with me, and you'll know exactly what I'm referring to. So, what if I told you that there is a secret to living to 100 years old, and it has nothing to do with modern medicine or a strict regimen of supplements or a trendy exercise routine? There are regions across the globe that have the highest concentration of centenarians. Now, these individuals aren't just hanging on by a thread, but rather they're living lives that are vibrant, purposeful, and full of activity. Now, researchers have been studying these regions for the last couple of decades, and they have dubbed them to be blue zones. Blue zones. Now, you might be familiar with that because there was a documentary series that was released on Netflix, and I still think it's available. It's called Blue Zones. Essentially, researchers and scientists went to these areas of the world trying to uncover what exactly these individuals or these people or these cultures were doing that led to such a long lifespan and such a high quality of life. They looked at their genetics, their diet, they looked at their activity levels. And one such place that they researched was Okinawa, Japan. And Okinawa is already an interesting place because it's been known to have the lowest rate of mortality as it pertains to heart disease, stroke, and cancer in the developed world. To paint more of a vibrant image of this, they have higher life expectancies than anywhere else in the world, with women living up to 90 years old and men up to 84 years old. Now, when we contrast that with the U.S., we see that women in the U.S. have a life expectancy of about 81 years and men 76 years. So there's about a 10-year gap difference there, which is incredible. Now, although I will obviously admit that the Okinawans probably have a much better daily activity regimen and better diet than most Americans, there was one particular philosophy that these researchers came across and credit a tremendous amount of success to in terms of the longevity of these individuals. And this philosophy is referred to as Ikigai. Ikigai, which translates to the reason for being. Now, this was really, really interesting, and I loved learning about it. Essentially, Ikigai, what I found was, is a strategic framework to help people marry what they do for a profession with their values, their morals, and ultimately what they want to identify as their purpose. Gives them essentially like a life compass. So what is this framework? Well, I'm going to do my best here to try and describe it. Okay, so from a visual perspective, you can think of it as being like a four-circle Venn diagram. Okay, there's four circles, and each circle represents a core element that people should think about in terms of how they want to live their lives, okay, or activities that they want to implement. Now, when these four circles intersect, that's when you reach ultimate balance and harmony in your life, and you've reached Ikigai. So let's go into the core elements. So the first element is going to be doing something that you love. Doing something that you love. So this is anything that gives you energy or joy, something that's effortless to you. It could be exercising. It could be walking in nature. It could be writing. It could be painting, anything creative, but something that you love to do. The second element is doing something that you're good at, something that you're better at doing than most people, right? This could be a skill that you've developed over time or something that you were born with. It could be something like coaching, or could be something like playing an instrument, maybe creating content, something that you're good at. The third element is something that the world needs. Now, this is unique to you and your values and where you are in your life. But doing something that you think the world needs more of. This could be something centered around mental health, or maybe it's child advocacy. Maybe it's something that pertains to environmental sustainability, fitness education, but something that you believe the world needs. And then the last one is doing something that you can ultimately be rewarded for, tangible or intangible. I tend to think about this from a monetary perspective, but you can also think of it as personal growth or freedom or access to something. Okay, but something that you can ultimately be rewarded for. You're building a positive feedback loop. Now, Ikigai is very personal to every individual. It's going to be much different based on your values and your principles and what you find to be enjoyable. Just keep that in mind. Now, there are four distinct questions that I came across that tend to help people understand how to identify their Ikigai. And we're going to go into them right now. Okay, the first question is, what do you love and you're good at? So what do you love and what are you good at? Where do those two core elements intersect? And this is going to be labeled your passion. This is going to be something where it's going to be very easy for you to get up in the morning and execute. This is where you find your flow, the flow zone, essentially. Okay? Your passion. The next question is, what do you love to do and that the world needs? What do you love to do and that the world needs? This is going to be your mission. This is what's going to be this is going to be at the core or the center of the goal that you put in front of yourself. It's going to drive you to try and accomplish and achieve something. The third one is, what are you good at and ultimately can be rewarded for? Now, this one's an easy one, I think, for most people because this is more or less our profession. For me, it was sales, right? I was good at sales, so I got a sales job. That sales job paid me good money. That was my reward, okay? But something that you're good at and you can be rewarded for. And then the last one is going to be what rewards you, but what the world needs. And this is going to be your vocation. It's the service impact zone where you're solving a problem that people care about and that you gain something that sustains your ability to keep going. So I really love this concept of Ikigai, and I love this framework because it kind of puts things into perspective for the majority of us in terms of what is it that is ultimately going to bring us fulfillment that we can do long term. I can certainly say to myself, like, that is why I quit my job, is that I was completely out of balance with one of these elements. I just didn't think I was doing something that added any value to anybody else's life. I was really just doing it because it paid good money and because I was good at it. But it didn't get me out of bed. I wasn't excited to do it. There were a lot of days where I woke up and I didn't necessarily feel resentment for the fact that I was working for this company or participating in selling this particular software or service, but I just didn't care about it. I had no passion for it. I think the beautiful thing about this framework and about today's society is it's easier and easier for people to be able to find their version of Ikigai, because being able to do what you love is easier than ever to be able to monetize, right? If you think about the emergence of social media, I can't tell you how many people I come across that are painters that show you the process in which they paint, and they come up with these magnificent works of art, and now they're making a ton of money doing it. That's incredible. And you can apply that for almost anything, right? People who restore cars, that's another one. People who cook, I mean, individuals who are literally just making entertaining content. Those people are doing something that they love. Hopefully, they believe that it's bringing purpose to the world or meaning to the world. And they're also getting paid for it. So I just want to pause and say, I think today, more than ever, this is a very realistic framework for any and everybody who's listening to be able to apply to. And I don't mean to get too preachy here, but I think that's pretty evident. Now, as beautiful and as fantastic and wonderful and incredible as that framework is, here's the plot twist. That has absolutely nothing to do with the true meaning of Ikigai. This is hilarious to me. Ikigai was not a success formula. Okay, that Venn diagram that I just articulated has absolutely no roots in Japanese culture. Doesn't even sound Japanese. In the early 2010s, there was a British entrepreneur by the name of Mark Wynn who created that Venn diagram, blending Ikigai with Western ideology. This guy hijacked the meaning of Ikigai for whatever purpose. I don't know what kind of gain he got from it, but that is hilarious. That is the most Western thing in the world to do. You take a beautiful concept of Ikigai and you spin it into, how can I make money? How can I apply this to Western philosophy? Now, I don't mean to discredit it because, quite frankly, I'm going to continue to use this framework. I love it. I just think it's really funny that some guy took the concept of Ikigai and spun it into his own interpretation. But what is the true meaning of Ikigai then? The hell is this? All right, well, let's get into it. So if we start with the etymology of Ikigai, it's two words, Iki and Gai. Iki is either life or to live. Gai is worth, value, or benefit. Ikigai, when combined, it translates into reason for being or reason for living. Okay, just like I had kind of alluded to earlier. But the difference is between what we just went into and the true meaning of Ikigai is, Ikigai isn't something that you pursue. There's no end goal that you're looking to achieve. It's something that you notice. It's something that you recognize in the present moment. Ikigai can be found in your morning cup of coffee. It can be the sun rising. It could be the clouds in the sky. It could be spending time with your friends and your family. You don't necessarily need to start your job or have a job in order to reach Ikigai in the true sense. Sometimes your job funds Ikigai, and sometimes Ikigai is your job. But if it's neither, that doesn't necessarily matter. Now, there was a guy by the name of Ken Mogi who was a Japanese neuroscientist, and he wrote a book called The Little Book of Ikigai, and he has five distinct pillars of the true meaning, and we're going to get into that right now. So the first pillar is starting small, and what I believe he meant by that is noticing details in certain things. So if you're having a cup of coffee, noticing the aroma of that coffee, noticing the steam rising from the coffee and appreciating that. Another way to think about this is there's beauty in routine, right? And the best analogy I have for the routine idea is, I don't know if you guys have noticed or come across these videos of people who brew coffee, but there's this very, very eloquent and beautiful series of steps that I've encountered where you take the beans and you grind them and then you put them in this little metal cup and then you pack it down very gently. Sometimes that pack has like a cool design on it or something. And then you go to your espresso machine, you click it in, you set it, and then you watch it drip out in this beautiful brown amber color. That is a routine that can maybe seem monotonous, but in the traditional sense of Ikigai, it's appreciating that routine, taking your time, and each step has its own beauty. The next one is releasing yourself, letting go of your ego, letting go of expectations, right? Nothing in life is perfect. And if you expect perfection, then you're just chasing validation. And I think that we can all attest that there's no such thing as perfection in anything that we do, you know? So I like that one. The next one is harmony and sustainability. Look, we live in a community of people. We live in an environment. And when we try to push back against that, that is not any sort of sense of harmony. That just creates friction. So being able to just go with the flow, appreciate how things operate, how things work, even if it's sitting in traffic, being able to understand and appreciate the fact that people are all working together to get to their end destination, right? But being in harmony with whatever environment that you're constantly inundated with. The fourth one is enjoying the little things. Enjoying the little things. This is probably at the core essence of Ikigai as far as I've been able to interpret. But really trying to appreciate things that maybe go unseen or unappreciated most of the time. That's how I would interpret it. The last one is being in the here and now. So this is a big one, right? I think for me personally, it's hard to look past all of the to-do tasks that I have coming up in the day. As an entrepreneur, I constantly have a million things that I can be trying to go after or trying to tackle or trying to cross off my to-do list. I think a lot of other people tend to ruminate on what's happened in the previous hours of their day. And so they're constantly thinking about the argument that they had or the incident that they had with their loved one or their friends or their bosses or whatever. But being able to just stop and realize that you are here, you're now, you're present in that moment really plays into the benefit of Ikigai. All right, guys, I just want to say I really love both versions that we covered today. I think the framework, as somebody who's grown up and lives in the Western culture, gives me something that I can build on and go after. I personally like setting up goals and challenges. Also, just the overall concept of that framework is exactly what I'm trying to do with my own life, right? I'm trying to marry what I'm passionate about with things that I think are going to ultimately add value to other people's lives that I can hopefully, you know, make a living off of. I'm trying to accomplish that currently. So that just kind of plays into what I'm ultimately looking at, and having a framework to be able to put that all together can definitely be helpful. But I also think that there's times where we need to just stop and smell the roses, in so many words, to appreciate the moments where, you know, we tend to overlook. Look, I went hit balls with my brother the other day, and he brought his son. As much as I love golf and as much as Lord knows I need to practice, I didn't care one iota about hitting golf balls. My entire focus and attention was on my nephew. He is the greatest sense of joy that I have in my life. And I absolutely loved every minute I had with him. So I think that there is that balance that we can all incorporate. And I would recommend looking into the framework as well as looking into the little book of Ikigai that I mentioned earlier and try and balance the two together. So I think today was a quick one. I'll have to look at the timestamp. I just was kind of going through what I had on the paper, but this was hopefully a very valuable conversation for everybody. And I'm looking forward to the next one. I kind of already know what I want the next topic to be. So looking forward to it. If you guys have any feedback, as always, please leave your comments below. Please like and subscribe. And looking forward to seeing you guys again. All right. Take care, everybody.